Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, it's Monday night, and that means it's time for the Constitution Hour. I will be your host, Mr. Ron Golden. And without further ado, I see that we have who I believe to be our resident Hebrew from the land of Florida, Mr. Robert. I'm going to bring him up. Robert, is that you, sir?
The land of Hebrew is here.
How are you, sir?
Hanging in there. I just finished up the semester, and I'm kind of fried. Just trying to digest all the stuff that happened this past 2 weeks.
Yeah. Well, it's been kind of crazy, hasn't it?
Well, I'm digesting it. I had to get the whole story before I could even attempt to try to talk about it.
So what's your take on things? How's my what?
The first day, how's your son doing?
Oh, he's doing fabulous.
How's his hand?
Missing a digit. But other than that, just one. But other than that, he's all good. Yep. One of the most important ones, the middle finger. You know,
he did the middle finger.
Yep, it has significantly handicapped his vocabulary.
God. You're pretty funny, Ronnie.
Well, you know, I try. I only do one show a week, so I have to get my comedy in where I can.
Now, that's just, well, if you don't laugh, you don't live. So, like, you know, at least what I don't want to kind of mess up and kind of sound, what's the word, insensitive, at least he has his hand, and thank God for that.
Well, at least he has his life and he didn't kill his kid, you know, so that's a plus.
Well, you know what, Ron, see, that's, let me tell you why I got so upset. I had to get this off my chest, okay?
All right.
When you told me what happened to your son and how it happened, I could only picture myself trying to load a gun. That's why I got upset. And what the condition did I have? I don't know if I could become a gunner because of that incident. Now I really have to really deep down decide whether or not I should not become a gunner.
Well, the problem with his accident is that he violated two of the most sacred rules of firearm safety, and that is the gun is always loaded, even if you don't think it is loaded, and you never point it at anything you don't intend to destroy. And he pointed it at his hand, and he knew better, and he did it anyway. He was complacent, and he recognizes that fact and readily admits it, and I'm proud of him for at least admitting, you know, being man enough to admit that he screwed up. Plain and simple.
I tried coming on the show a couple of times, and, you know, I guess there were no shows. I guess after the bombing, everybody just didn't want to do a show. I guess I don't know why, but I couldn't get
it. No, I was actually on vacation on a riverboat in New Orleans riding up the Mississippi, and Linda had her computer crashed. So there was 1 week there that I missed the show. I missed doing the show.
Man.
So, well, it is what it is. We're all still here, and no one's worse for the wear. Probably did good not to have to listen to me ramble for an hour.
Oh, I tell you, that Boston bombing, you know, it was just like I woke up that Monday, you know, the tax day. I did my taxes on time. I was pretty happy. You know, I didn't know the government or anything.
Aren't you a good little slave?
And, you know, I was in a great mood, and then all of a sudden I go on the internet, it says Boston bombing about 3 o'clock, and then I turn it on, and then that whole week, you know, listening to all this stuff that went on, you know, I was just, like, totally floored. I was just like, we're slowly but surely becoming like Israel, now we got to worry about people with backpacks on their shoulders.
And that was something that I wanted to kind of touch on tonight. And I think that, you know, regardless of the religious ideologies that are involved with Islam and whatnot, I think from a philosophical standpoint, we have to kind of expect this based on the actions of our own government, don't we? Wouldn't you think that it's a natural consequence of stepping on toes for decades and decades? And again, the same thing with 9/11. I'm not trying to justify the actions of the bombers or the bombing. I don't know if those two boys did it or not. I don't think we'll ever know the truth. I don't know if Islam was the motivation or not. And quite frankly, I really don't care. It's horrible that it happened. My heart goes out to the people who lost family members and were injured or both physically and mentally over this thing. But seriously, the more I read, the more I think I gain a better understanding. And I was reading a little bit of philosophy from a guy named Immanuel Kant. And, you know, this, I was really planning on talking about this on the show tonight because I honestly had nothing else that came to mind, and just listening to the radio on the way home. But, you know, we've heard for time immemorial a couple of different axioms or adages. One of the old adages is that freedom isn't free. And I agree with that. But I think we've misplaced that idea, because that idea, all the time that I was growing up, until just very recently here, and I'm still growing up, according to my wife, but I always assumed that it meant that, you know, your freedom was paid for with flesh and blood on the battlefield, and not so much on the battlefield of ideas. But I've come to recognize that that's not necessarily the case. I think that our freedom was fought for during a Revolutionary War. Since that time, I kind of look at all the wars that have come since the Revolutionary War a little suspect. I don't know that we've really fought much since then for freedom. Arguably, I believe that the Civil War was fought for freedom. It wasn't fought to free slaves. And in fact, I think it was quite the opposite. It was fought for control and to govern over people, to enslave them, quite honestly, in my humble opinion. But back to Immanuel Kant, you know, what Immanuel Kant wrote regarding morality, I found to be very interesting. He believes that morality follows freedom. And that's kind of the other way around from what most of us have been raised to believe. You know, the founders had stated that the government of this country and the Constitution was only a restraint for a just and moral people, and I believe they were correct. But if you look, if you look around the world, okay, and you look at all of the places where there is a lot of political strife, well, hell, everywhere on the globe, okay, the less freedom a country has, the more turmoil and immorality there is in that country. And so I believe that that's a true statement. I believe that, you know, man, in and of ourselves, we're inherently sinful or evil in nature. And that... a general morality, a sense of morality and a sense of obligation comes not from our own doing, but from freedom. The more freedom we have, the more we respect ourselves and our fellow neighbors, our fellow human beings.
Well, it was funny today, this morning, about 10 o'clock, my doorbell rings. It's the Jehovah's Witnesses, you know. They just come in, you know, and just knock on people's doors and hand out flyers. And so I answered the door, and she started preaching to me. She asked me a question. The question was, what do you think causes domestic violence?
Stupid women.
I said that's a great question. I said, but the only thing that pops into my mind that causes domestic violence is this, and that is jealousy.
Well, what jealousy you should have asked her, Robert, what you should have asked her is, well, answer me this. What do you tell a blonde with two black eyes? Nothing you haven't told her before.
I said, I live with domestic violence for 15 years, woman. I've been there and done it. It's all about jealousy, and it's all about power, and it's all about control.
Certainly it is. And I don't mean to jest for those that have been victims of domestic violence, but you're absolutely correct. It is about control. It's about power and control over another human being.
Exactly. You know, and that's what the government is doing to us, is basically domesticating violence on us through their power and control. Because financial stress can kill anybody. That's what this government's doing to the American people. You know, it's called psychological warfare. Well, to play it that game, as far as I'm concerned, as I am concerned, you just got to know how to play it, Ron.
Well, and in watching what's going on in economics, I got to tell you. You know, my view or my understanding in economics is changing and hopefully growing daily. But I've come to the realization that it's not just, the Federal Reserve Bank. It's not just the United States that is having a negative effect on the economy worldwide. And if you really boil down economics and the marketplace, no matter how hard governments try to restrict and control the marketplace, the one thing that they have difficulty controlling is individual human beings and how we react and respond to different things that we see and hear every day. And that's really what drives the market in any country, even the most horrifically oppressed countries. We saw the effects of it in the Soviet Union. And you're seeing the effects of a quenching of freedom around the world. You can't diminish the value and the productivity of another human being by manipulating the marketplace. But what's happening, and it's worldwide, this progressive ideology has been indoctrinated, inculcated into the fabric of society, not just here, but, you know, worldwide, in Europe, all across the globe. And it is that mentality that strips away freedom. We lose more freedoms, and the price of freedom is responsibility, I believe. And so what we're telling our citizens is, oh, you don't have to worry. You don't need to be responsible for your own welfare. You don't have to get up and work to feed yourself. Oh, don't worry. The government's here to help. And that's going on around the world. And so we're diminishing the value of a work ethic and what makes an economy strong and successful, what makes humanity successful. And so I think that's where Kant got it correct, that it is the loss of freedom that results in a moral decline and moral decay. As much as I understand that there are many out there, and I agree, that having a spiritual guide, having God as your moral compass, and trying to do things and live your life in a way that's pleasing to your Father, that certainly plays an absolutely significant role. But I also think that, again, the scripture says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. God told us in the scriptures that he did not give us over to a spirit of bondage.
Do you have your Bible on you, Ron?
I do not, but I can certainly look up a verse if that's what you wanted to do.
Absolutely. I want you to look up Job 31 for me.
Okay.
I want you to read it to the crowd. It sums it up. Job 31 sums up the whole thing. telling.
Well, which version do you want? You want the
doesn't matter.
Shakespeare written version so I could divorce my wife, or you want the HIV version?
You said that, Ron. I didn't say that.
I made a covenant with my eyes not to look lustfully at a young woman. For what is our lot from God above, our heritage from the Almighty on high? It is not ruin for the wicked, disaster for those who do wrong. Does he not see my ways and count my every step? If I have walked with falsehood, or my foot has hurried after deceit, let God weigh me down in honest scales, and he will know that I am blameless if my steps have turned from the path, if my heart has been led by my eyes, or if my hands have been defiled. Then may others eat what I have sown, and may my crops be uprooted. Boy, they didn't like women back then, did they?
No, they didn't, but keep on reading.
If my heart has been enticed by a woman, or if I have lurked at my neighbor's door, then may my wife grind another man's grain. Not sure about that. And may other men sleep with her. Wow, I thought that was the same thing. For that would have been wicked, a sin to be judged. It is a fire that burns to destruction. It would have uprooted my harvest. If I have denied justice to any of my servants, whether male or female, when they have a grievance against me, what will I do when God confronts me? What will I answer when called to account? Did not he who made me in the womb make them? Did not the same one form us within our mothers? If I have denied the desires of the poor, or let the eyes of the widow grow weary, if I have kept my bread to myself, not sharing it with the fatherless, but from my youth I reared them as a father would, and from my birth I guided the widow, if I have seen anyone perishing for lack of clothing, or needy without garments, or their hearts did not bless me for warming them with fleece from my sheep, if I have raised my hand against the fatherless, knowing that I had influence in court, then let my arm fall from the shoulder, let it be broken off at the joint, for I dreaded destruction from God, and for fear of his splendor I could not do such things. If I have put my trust in gold, or said, pure gold, you are my security, if I have rejoiced over my great wealth, the fortune of my hands had gained, if I have regarded the sun and its radiance, or the moon moving in splendor, so that my heart was secretly enticed and my hand offered them a kiss of homage, then these also would be sins to be judged, for I would have been unfaithful to God on high.
That's just such a great passage.
It is a very good passage.
That sums up the whole thing. And you know who gave that to me?
Who's that?
John Stewart.
Wow. You got to watch more of that guy, evidently, huh?
Let me tell you something, Roy. That boy is smart. He's turning right wing. He's turning right, and I tell you else is turning right is Bob Beckel.
I don't know if he is or not. You know, I mean, I agree with the sentiment of what is contained in the passage here, and I've said before that, you know, we need to go to these people with love in our hearts rather than anger and vengeance. And, you know, I was in a conversation online today, and then these guys were talking about elections and voting, and I said, do you really think that you're going to restore the idea of America at the ballot box? I don't. I think the way that you restore respect and responsibility and morality in this country is through education. It's by educating people and giving them a sense of self. And, you know, I know that may run kind of counter to scripture where it says that, you know, to be born again, we must die to self. That's true. But it doesn't mean that we should not respect ourselves. And I think that goes to another portion in the scripture, you know, when Christ said to love your neighbor as you love yourself. Well, I think this falls right into the same idea that from freedom comes morality. When people are oppressed, when they don't have true freedom, they lose their self-worth. And if you don't love yourself, if you don't care about yourself, then how can you possibly care about your neighbor? Empathy is one thing, but true heartfelt love and compassion for a neighbor, I think, is different than empathy. We can all empathize with people that are in bad situations.
Oh, that's true. If everybody practices that, you know, love thy neighbor routine.
Well, and I think you see, this is one of the things that, you know, with freedom comes the responsibility of one's own actions. And all of this crap that we've been doing for 200 plus years, we're always trying to find a way to not have people be responsible for their own actions. And I don't mean to, you know, rule with an iron fist. We know that that doesn't work well either, and the Israelites were a perfect example of that. So there has to be a balance. But one does have to be answerable to their neighbor for trespass or transgressions.
Well, you know what happened? You know what happened to me this past week? Somebody came on my property and switched off locked out my mailbox. Reversed it. I didn't notice it, and I was wondering why I didn't get any mail. Right? Somebody, that's okay. I mean, you know, somebody just got into my mailbox, reversed the boxes, and I haven't received mail in like 6 days, and I haven't even received my water bill. I haven't received my cable bill. Nothing.
Well, that's fantastic, Robert. I wish that had happened at my mailbox. I wouldn't get any bills. That'd be awesome.
Well, yeah.
If you don't get a bill, you don't have to pay it, right?
Well, that's not true.
I'm just kidding.
But it's baffling. It's beside the point that someone had nothing better else to do than to mess with me. You know, just to mess me up. Just, you know. So the post office, so the Saturday, the post lady came and rang my doorbell. She goes, "Do you live here?" I said, "Yes, I do." "Are you Robert Kaplan?" I said, "Yes, I am." "Well, your mailbox is in lockdown." I said, "No, it's not." I said, "If it was in lockdown, how do I know if it's in lockdown? It's been reversed." And I said, "I didn't do that." I said, "But couldn't you have gotten out of your truck and put the mail on the opposite end?" Like that. And when I said that, Ron, she almost went ballistic on me.
Well, Robert, that's not her job. I mean, my God, what's wrong with you? Next, you're going to say, "Well, couldn't you have reversed it back?"
My God. I mean, I didn't do that. But someone messed with me. So, I know what's in store for me for the next... God only knows how many years I have left on this earth. You know?
And those are the times, and I am trying very, very diligently. Those are the times when you need to look up and say, "Thank you. Thank God someone reversed my mailbox. It saved me from having to fool with all that mail for 6 days. What a pleasure. Thank you."
Yeah, really, you know?
Well, but you do. You got to look for the positive in everything. And even when it's horrible and terrible and you feel like your whole world's come to an end, those are the times that you need to be praising God and thanking Him that you still have your presence, your presence of mind. And, you know, He doesn't test us unless we're worthy of being tested, right?
I told her, I said, I thought I had to look at the obituaries to still see if I was still alive. Yeah, I had to make sure.
Oh,
this is a crazy world. It's day by day, it's just getting meaner and meaner, Ron. It's just getting meaner, nastier.
I think that might be our perception of things, but I don't know. I haven't seen anybody put on a rack and tortured and stretched and disemboweled for not embracing the Catholic faith. And I mean, there's a lot of horrible things that have happened over the history of mankind. So I don't know that we're there yet, but certainly it is horrible, the things that are going on in this world, no doubt. And I think each generation has its own level of debauchery that I think it's only natural. It happens. But I do agree that it certainly feels like we're reaching a threshold point that there's, you know, something is imminent, a change of some sort.
Oh, man. I mean, I try to wake up every day and try to make people laugh. You know, tell jokes, cry, you know. I've gotten to the point where after taking epidemiology, I learned one thing. At least I know my own mortality rate right now. I know my morbidity rate right now. And I know what to do right now. You know?
Sure.
You know, it was just a fascinating course of this. And it just broadened my horizon. And, you know, if I continue, I continue. If I don't, I don't. But be it as it may, at least I learned something. You know? And the more you learn, the more you earn, and that's the way it is in this world. And you know, you have to be sharp and keep on your toes in order to survive. And that's the way it is.
Well, you know, I try to get up and go to work every day, and I try to give a positive attitude to all of my customers and let them really seriously understand that I am there to serve them, that I'm there to provide for their wants. You know, that's the reason they come to see us in the first place, and it's usually not because they have nothing better to do. It's because there's something wrong with their car, or their car just needs an oil change. So I don't take the approach that I'm trying to sell anyone anything. I take the approach and I let my customers know it, that, hey, I'm here to serve you. What is it you want? What is it you need? You know, I try to have a positive outlook with all of my customers and treat them all with the utmost respect. And it's amazing because people respond so well to that attitude. It's quite stunning.
It is. That's what should be expected. It's common courtesy. You know, common courtesy gets you more than, you know, what's the old saying? You get more out of honey than you do vinegar.
Absolutely. You know? And when you treat people with love and kindness, you'd be surprised at how much you get in return. And on that note, I do believe that we have Miss Linda on the line with us. Miss Linda, how are you?
I'm getting better, Ron. Thanks so much for asking. Hi, Robert, and everyone out there in chat room land. Yeah, I'm battling pneumonia, but I'm almost finished with my meds. Yeah, and I think Saturday is my last antibiotic pill. But the stuff that's, you know, making us crazy on the internet and the news. It is overwhelming. You know, we get nervous because you got these clowns in the Senate promising to come back after the guns. You've got promises of people, you know, out there in cyberland saying they're going to impeach the schmuck. You know, I mean, it's too much. It's just information overload. And I'm so glad you read from Scripture, because it starts bringing you back to you know, your roots, your reality, and some some sense of normalcy. You know, we do have a lot of battles, but starting with the Bible and just basic history of the revolution. 'Cause, you know, when you look around that whole thing, this is like a blip on the radar. That 236 years, it's like nothing. And look what we accomplished.
It's a bump on the behind of the fly of time. You know, one of the things that really touched me this afternoon was that email that you sent me, the interview with Chris Matthews and the Cardinal, who I believe is now the Pope, isn't he?
Oh, that the written one, the transcript, yeah.
Fantastic.
Wasn't that bizarre?
Well, and yeah. It was very very wise man. And,
correct.
You know, when he told Matthews, he just kept telling him, I thought you're Catholic. and he said, you know, our fight's not with each other. It's with it's a battle of ideologies. It's a battle of ideas. And that's exactly the fact. It is a battle of ideas.
And that's
where we need to educate people.
Right, the education part of it, because what I put in the chat room, that George Washington was, I mean, he was adamant about an educated body politic that would ensure the security of a free republic, or that that would be the only way it would endure, with, of course, morality, and they all agreed on that, too.
And you
so
see
go ahead.
The thing that the Cardinal pointed out so eloquently and so correctly to Mr. Matthews is that the other side is winning, evil is winning, because they have been able to convince the poor people that they're on their side and they have their best interest at heart, when in fact they're just keeping them poor and they're keeping them downtrodden and they don't
enslaved.
They just don't even see it. Yes, they're keeping them enslaved.
Dependent. Oh, sure. They're down in a little cave, you know.
And all they see from the other side is anger and resentment.
Right.
And
that's
what we have to change.
Yeah, we gotta think outside that box and be real careful, you know. But, again, you know, that's why I think all of us do what we do. We don't just go pontificating. We actually try to find the real facts for ourselves. We try to educate ourselves. And, you know, every single book that I've read from day one till now has helped me connect dots and opened my eyes in ways, you know, that is astounding. It's just like I told Terry Rowland and I told other people when I read Hayek's book written 80 years ago. I'm reading the one that about Bonhoeffer, which was written not too long ago, but in a time period which was many, many moons ago. And the relevance is so current because we're repeating it. Because when you don't read it, you get to repeat it, you know? So it's a puzzlement, because you can't force people to do it, to educate themselves. You can try. I mean, not force, but you can try to encourage that. Because if they don't wake up on their own and connect the dots on their own, I can talk until I'm blue in the face. You know what I mean? It's got to come, and you know that, because you worked on all of us, and, you know, yo's light bulbs went off, mine went off, and you're like, yay, finally! You know. Yeah, so, but yeah, if you don't draw that conclusion on your own, it's just words on a page. It's nothing. Same with the Declaration, the Constitution, those My Ten Commandments, which is the Ten Bill of Rights in my book. You know, we've got to exercise our rights. There's never been a machine built like under Stalin or any of these horrible people, or Hitler and the Third Reich. Those were not tiny, limited governments. Yeah, you don't get that kind of total control out of something that is restrained by the chains of a constitution and people who are willing to fight for it.
Well, and clearly, I mean, it's relatively obvious, or should be at this point, that the Constitution is no deterrent. I mean, it's had a deterrent effect, but a damn little one.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the part that I was talking about, you know, freedom not being free. It's not free. And the founders told you.
It requires maximum responsibility. Individual responsibility.
Eternal vigilance.
Right.
You see, when you're willing to sacrifice even mm-hmm. the smallest, most minute
yep.
liberty for whatever justification,
mm-hmm.
you lose. And that
you lose
is
it,
the
and you don't
that,
deserve it.
And that is the chipping away at the morality
mm-hmm.
in this country and worldwide, for that matter. You look at all these countries. You look at where Islam is flourishing.
Oh, my gosh.
It's in those countries where people are the most repressed.
Oppressed, too. Yeah, iron-fisted.
Yeah.
Oh,
Islam doesn't flourish in countries where there's a relative freedom. And that's why
correct.
There's so much animosity going on because, you know, you go into Europe, into France and the Netherlands and places like that where there's a relatively high amount of liberty, individual liberty,
mm-hmm.
and the local people that are rejecting
mm-hmm.
the Islamic invasion.
Right.
So, you know, I think Immanuel Kant had it absolutely correct that the two go hand in hand.
Sure.
One is a consequence of the other. A natural consequence. Yes, Robert.
Did you ever hear about the country of Chechnya before it was?
Yes.
I mean,
yeah.
That was the first time I ever heard of Chechnya. And
oh, no.
I didn't know there was... I
remember news stories from years ago about Chechen rebels and the whole nine yards. This has been going on. This is nothing new. And, you know, I had made mention, and someone else did too, that the whole story stinks, and I'm not going to speculate too far into mm-hmm. it. But if you look up who that young man was named after, okay, Tamerlan, he was an ancient warlord from the 1100s. He was an Islamic warrior.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So, you know, the idea that they just became radicalized and all this other, I think, is a bunch of horse manure.
Exactly. Yeah.
And I think the parents knew exactly what they were doing,
mm-hmm.
or maybe they're just naive and they didn't know what they were doing. But, you know, again, and I talked about this on the last show, when you have a country where the people are absolutely oppressed and their economic conditions are horrid, they look for someone to blame because, of course, it's not through any fault of their own. And rather than blaming their leaders, it's easy to blame someone else, like the United States. That's just the long and the short of it. I mean, it's an oversimplified version, but it's the truth. And so they go about wanting to kill everyone who they see as the source of their oppression, the source of their situation. Never realizing that it's their own religious ideology that's keeping them oppressed.
Right. And do you see the ones who are fomenting, like at the top of this stuff, the imams and the radicals, is this not another attempt to revive the caliphate with the Muslim Brotherhood, et cetera?
I think so. And I personally believe that, you know, a good number of these guys that rise to the level of an imam
mm-hmm.
is simply because, you know, they're like politicians in the United States. The
right.
only reason they've become an imam is because they couldn't cut it in the real world and they have no actual job skills.
You mean like Al Not-So-Sharpton and those guys?
Yeah. Exactly.
And our current leaders.
I see very little differentiation between the two.
Yeah.
That, you know, they make their living
yeah.
by preying on the anger and the
mm-hmm.
the misfortune of others.
Right.
And they use someone's misfortune, someone's terrible situation, to instill in them hatred.
Sure. And look how well these propaganda techniques have been used on us as well and throughout history, and how well it works. My God, every single one of them lied through their teeth. They lied, you know, Hitler lied, Bernays and Wilson lied, everybody from, you know, probably Alexander Hamilton forward lied, you know, and then you can just, consistently, and then the New World Order clowns with their global warming hoax, believe me, the next time I'm able-bodied to go to that meeting, they're going to hear from me on that one. So,
I think how much of a hoax it is. Huh? I think this goes right back into my understanding of Scripture and the idea that regardless of how benevolent the individual mm-hmm. might be, we as human beings are not capable of rendering just judgment. We are incapable of justice in and of ourselves. And every single one of the founders had mm-hmm. an agenda, their very own agenda. Whatever
right.
that agenda may be, we probably will never know what the
right.
personal agenda of many of them were. And so, you know, it may be out of expediency
mm-hmm.
that you agree or go along with one train of thought or another, one ideology or another. Because you see it as a means to achieving your goal, your end goal.
Right. Well, that's why when you look at people like Judge Napolitano or Ron Paul, who are consistent, and I believe are spiritual men, you know, they try to stick to the true blue ideals and the ideologies of the founding or the Constitution and nature's law and nature's God. So I have to admire them. Look, none of them are perfect. None of us are perfect.
Nope,
but at
exactly.
least they try.
Well, and that was the thing that really enamored me with Ron Paul. And there are scarce few politicians that I have
mm-hmm.
ever been willing to vocally go out and support for
right.
that very simple reason, because I don't know them. And I
sure.
don't know what their personal ideology or agenda is, so I have
right.
very little to go by. At least with Dr. Paul, I had a very long history of consistency. Now,
sure, and you know, he's one of the few, probably in God knows how many decades, that actually deserves the title statesman.
Yeah, and I understand that not everyone can look at his voting record and understand the thought process. And so
mm-hmm.
it comes to, well, he voted against this and he voted against this, trying to paint him. See, then we get into the ipso facto. Well, if you voted against this, then you're in favor of whatever the activity is.
Mm-hmm.
Like, say, some anti-abortion bill and they voted against it. Well, then you must be in favor of abortion. Well, nothing could be further from the truth. It's just that he recognizes that government doesn't have that authority to begin with.
Right.
So, you know, he's voting on principle, something that,
sure.
unsurprisingly, no one else up there seems to understand.
They don't have any principles. That's the problem.
Precisely the point.
Yeah,
precisely the
that's
point.
The problem. Oh,
you
yeah.
know,
they are a congress of baboons at this point, except for a tiny handful.
Unprincipled
so.
People don't understand principles, just like Ronald Reagan said, you know, you can't reason
yeah.
with unreasonable people.
Exactly. That's why, you know, you have to, especially if you're dealing with people who want to chop your head off because, you know, the Quran tells them to, you can't reason with those people any more than you could with Genghis Khan, for heaven's sake. You know,
I think Genghis Khan, you could actually probably reason with him because he was motivated by stuff, possession, you know.
True.
At least he was just a greedy SOB, unlike the fanaticals that, you know, there's nothing you can do except for submit, and even then you might get your head cut off. So
exactly, yeah. Oh, yeah, they're completely nuts. But when I look at the clowns like Frankenweinstein with, you know, her little sweetheart deals with the California rail system and all this nonsense, and the rest of them, to me they're just glorified whores. That's, to me, that's what they're doing, whether they want votes or money or power. That's what they are acting like, and somebody just needs to call them all out. That's what they are, Ron, and they're disgusting.
Well, you know, and Rod put something up in the chat room that I wanted to talk about, and I'm glad that he brought it up because it's something that's gotten a little bit of play lately, but I think not near enough. And that is talking about considering amnesty for illegal aliens. Now, I would suggest humbly that Mr. Rod go and listen to Rand Paul's explanation of what he means, because it's not just straight across the board amnesty. And I think we have to look at it from a realistic standpoint. We can't simply round up all the illegals that are here and send them packing for 100 different reasons. And I understand this can be a very touchy and heated subject. And yes, they've broken the law to get here. And I'm not going to try and give any rationalization or justification for those people who have come here illegally. But what Rand Paul said he's in favor of is if we secure our border, period, if we can do that, and if the government can show that the border is secure and we have stopped the flow of illegals entering the country, then and only then can we begin to consider creating a path to citizenship for those people that are here. And the first thing that would require would be for them to go and fill out the forms, pay any back taxes that they owe, and then get to the back of the line.
Okay, how does he plan on securing the borders? I mean, that's just one aspect of it. Is there not all of this incentive now? I mean, they're supposed to, they're saying,
well,
that they're putting these people on food
stamps? I think there is some truth to that, and that's another thing that he said. You know, you give everyone an ID card, all of the illegals. You give them so you've got them, at least you know who they are. You've got a name on paper. They have to be able to prove their identity, okay? And they get a card.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't get any public assistance. Zero.
Right.
None. You're not eligible. You can't get it. And you go to the back of the line to get lawful, legal citizenship.
Did he also address the problem with the IRS giving tax refunds to people who don't even live here? They're in Mexico.
That's just one small sliver of the problem, as you well know, with our tax system and our monetary system. It's full of more holes than Swiss cheese. And that's why, and I've said it before, 98% of all people that are convicted for tax crimes in this country are from a pool of people that actually file their taxes. So only 2% of the people ever convicted on tax charges are people that don't file. Let me tell you something.
It's crazy.
That ought to tell you something. So.
And I know you're running out of time. Are you doing 1 hour?
Yeah, just an hour. We got just about 5-6 minutes left. So.
Okay. Thank you so much. I'm going to get some rest and save my voice for a little bit of a show with Bill tomorrow. And Robert, take care.
You got a drink? Lots of water. That's all.
I've been drinking it like till it's coming out my ears already. Thank you so much, and God bless everybody, and I'll catch you guys tomorrow. We might just do an hour show, but everyone needs to call in so that Bill and you guys can chat and I can save my voice.
Mm.
Thanks, guys. Great
God
show.
God bless.
Well, Robert, any parting thoughts, sir?
You know, my parting thoughts is everybody just keep safe and keep cool, and that's all we can do right now.
Sure. I agree.
That's all we can do. Have you looked at Obamacare? That book about Obamacare yet? Have you gotten it? Has anybody bought it yet?
I don't have any desire. Honestly, I pay less and less attention to the news and all this junk every day. I'm serious. I don't care.
I care.
But I'm telling you that the problem, it's not going to get solved anytime soon.
No.
It, at this point, we are on a runaway locomotive with no brakes, and the throttle is stuck wide open. So until the train gets thrown off the tracks, I don't think you're going to get much accomplished. I think the impending train wreck is inevitable, and until that train wreck occurs and some of the dust begins to settle, I think we're tilting at windmills.
You're probably right, sir. I don't know anymore. I try.
I think we are the modern-day Don Quixotes.
I gave it my best shot. I really did. I gave it my best shot. That's all I can do. But
well, you know, I think that from the little R Republican side of things, or, you know, the conservative stance, that we've been trying all along, and it hasn't worked. The situation's not gotten better. It's gotten worse. Do you reckon it's time we maybe try a different approach, a different tact, and maybe try reaching out to these people with some affection rather than anger and vitriol?
Maybe so. Be it as it may.
You know, the time for jumping up and down and defending those lost liberties passed us by a long time ago. They're already gone. The fight now is to restore them, and the only way that that's going to happen is with enough people becoming educated that they no longer tolerate the diminishment of their personal liberties. But they don't even know what those are. They don't even have a clue, Robert. They don't have any idea what it's like to have true freedom. And so never having experienced true freedom, they have no concept. No concept. And how sad is it that even though the situation is the way it is, there are still millions of people clamoring to get into this country because they see it as so much better than their country. That ought to give you an indication of how bad it is in their country.
I'm sure. If this is really the land of opportunity, that's what I've learned all my life, that this was the land of opportunity, and the way I feel is it's being taken away from me. You know, it's slowly but surely it's taking the land of opportunity. It's taken away from me. And that's how I feel.
I agree. Well, I got like 40 seconds left, so I just want to say thanks for calling in, Robert. Always
thanks
good to have you on
me,
the
Rob.
Show. Thanks to all of our listeners out there and everybody in our chat room, Bill Strong and FT, and we have a guest in here, and Miss Linda and Rod and Yola. I saw we had Mr. Michael Magic on a little bit ago. Great. Thank you guys for tuning in and listening to my rants. And we'll see you next week. And I'll see everybody, I guess, tomorrow night for Patriot Families Chat. And then Wednesday night for Miss Linda's show. And Thursday for Miss Terry. So hang in there, guys. Don't get discouraged. And, you know, just keep your head up and don't lose focus. God bless everybody. We'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.